Have you ever woken up in the middle of the night needing to go to the bathroom and you didn't want to turn on the light? You know that feeling. It's waking up at 2:30 in the morning, making a quiet deal with yourself, I'm not turning on the light. Because you know the rules. If the light goes on, your eyes sting, your brain kicks into gear, your body thinks it's morning, and suddenly you're awake when all you wanted to do is just stay half asleep and get the job done. So you shuffle in the dark, eyes half closed, hand on the wall like a sleepy zombie. You're trying not to wake up, trying not to see too clearly, trying to stay inside the comfort of drowsiness where the dark lets you pretend you're still asleep. You tiptoe through the dark, hoping the night can just keep lulling you along and hoping that you are not nearly as loud as Pastor Jason stumbling in the dark. Sometimes we avoid light on purpose because if we turned it on, if we really saw things, we'd have to be awake. And being awake, it's inconvenient. It demands something. It breaks the spell of comfortable sleep. Turning on the light forces awareness. Once the light is on, you must face the reality that the night is over, and that you're awake, and that you must act. We live in a world that constantly lulls us into sleep. Sometimes it's the literal sleep of the night. But more often, it's the moral, spiritual, and ethical sleep that quietly sets over our hearts. We like it that way. Darkness can be comfortable. It keeps us from having to face truths that we'd rather ignore. It allows us to postpone uncomfortable conversations with ourselves, with others, with God. Darkness is seductive, because it allows us to stay unexamined, unchallenged, unaccountable. And the same is true morally and spiritually. We can live, speak, and act without fully seeing ourselves, without being fully honest with God or our neighbors. But the moment light shines, whether through conscience, scripture, God directly, we can no longer pretend. The night is over. The dawn is near. Paul captures this urgency in Romans 13:11-14. He writes, "The night is far gone. The day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light." We cannot pretend that moral sleepiness is harmless. The night is ending. The light is coming. We often prefer spiritual drowsiness because if the light comes on in our lives, we might have to admit something. If Christ's truth shines on our words, our habits, our excuses, our compromises, we'd have to acknowledge what's really there. If we step into the light, we can't keep pretending that everything is fine. We don't want to see the mess on the floor, the clutter in the corner, the things that we've tripped over a dozen times. Darkness lets us stay numb. Light forces us awake. And there are parts of us, the resentments, the prejudices, the hidden sins, the comfortable habits, that would rather we stay sleepy. Just like that 2:30 a.m. bathroom trip when we sometimes whisper to our souls, "Don't turn the light on. Don't wake up. Don't look too closely. Let me stay in the half darkness just a little longer." But Advent says, wake up. The dawn is here. Christ is shining. The light has already risen. You've just been keeping your eyes closed. Consider the darkness that grows when no one is paying attention. For years, here in Houston, it appeared executives were running a perfectly successful business, climbing to unprecedented financial heights, but behind the scenes, accounting tricks, manipulation, and deception were running unchecked. They created shell companies to hide losses. They shifted debt off their books so it wouldn't be noticed. They reported profits that weren't profits at all. People trusted the numbers because they wanted to believe everything was fine. Darkness thrived because people didn't want to look too closely. They didn't want to turn on the light. The consequences were devastating, not just for the Enron executives, but for the employees, the retirees, the investors, and the communities who trusted the company. Jobs evaporated overnight. Life savings disappeared. Families were uprooted. Communities were shaken. The name Enron became a bad word. All this because darkness had been allowed to grow unchallenged, because people had been lulled into ethical sleepiness. And the strange thing was, many of the people involved weren't villains in their own minds. They weren't waking up each morning thinking, how can I be evil today? Mwahaha. Most of them were simply operating in what had become business as usual. That's how darkness works. It doesn't show up wearing a dastardly cape. It shows up disguised as normal, maybe as smart. And because so many people were spiritually and morally sleepy, because they were used to the dark, they kept walking forward without ever turning on the light. But we don't have to look at corporate America to see the same patterns. Think about churches, communities, families. When trust is misused, when authority is wielded irresponsibly, when darkness thrives in silence or in secrecy, the damage is real. People are hurt, faith is shaken, hope is diminished. Darkness thrives where no one dares to look. Do we really think that the things listed in Romans were things that people went in thinking, I'm going to do something evil today? Or was it in a world where slowly it became comfortable, normal, and not really all that bad? We've all seen the news lately about a large, prominent Houston congregation where leadership structure was upended in a massive internal shift. Decisions made behind closed doors, authority redirected in ways that many members didn't fully understand, and people suddenly feeling as though trust had been broken because they discovered they had no say in their own church. Even churches can drift into a kind of organizational darkness. Secrecy, power struggles, defensiveness, fear of the light. And the damage always spreads. People become disillusioned. Young adults walk away. Members feel unseen or unheard. Communities fracture. Darkness, even when it feels safe, always costs more than we think. And Advent calls us out of that. Do all businesses have to act this way? No. There are examples of people and groups who choose to walk in the light, even at great cost. Companies and leaders who refuse to hide behind darkness and instead act with integrity, honesty, transparency. Johnson & Johnson in 1982. 7 people died after cyanide-laced Tylenol capsules reached the market. The company did not hesitate. They recalled every single Tylenol bottle in the nation, over 31 million bottles, at a staggering cost, before the government demanded it. They acted transparently, sacrificially, decisively. The light was turned on and they chose not to hide from it. Or Patagonia, running a full-page ad on Black Friday of all days saying, "Do not buy this jacket," because they realized the manipulation, the guilt, the pressure that is on us all during the season. They invited customers to consider whether they truly needed a product, to act thoughtfully, and if they chose to buy, to trust that their money would be used responsibly. Like a church suggesting that people give their tithes to other groups if so inclined, Patagonia's model respected freedom, integrity, and conscience. Or CVS, which stopped selling all tobacco products in 2014. Because they wanted to align themselves with healthcare rather than addictive substances, they began losing $2 billion in lost revenue every year, every single year. And even now, they've had to close over 1,000 locations over the last few years, 10% of their locations, for the sake of continuing a mission of doing what's right for the community. There are plenty of large-scale examples of countering the darkness with light. But Scripture talks about darkness also not just in regard to dramatic sins or obvious rebellions, but more often with the stuff that we've stopped noticing, the habits that we excuse, the patterns that we justify, the sharp words that we shrug off, the grudges we quietly feed, the sins that we rename so we don't feel convicted, the things we keep in the corner because we hope God doesn't bring them into the center of the room. Darkness allows us to say, I don't want to deal with that yet. I don't want the light to expose that. Let me stay comfortable. But the longer we stay asleep, the more damage we do to ourselves and to those around us. Darkness may feel comfortable, but it's not the same thing as truth. It's like when having a terrible dream one night as a child, I began screaming bloody murder to the point where my dad jumped out of bed, ran down the hallway, slipped on a dryer sheet, pinball bounced around the hallway between the walls, and then finally jumped up on my bed to protect me. I didn't want the lights to come on because I didn't want to know how beat up my dad really was. I didn't want to see, but the only way that we could put ice on his bruises and make sure he didn't have anything broken was to bring up the lights. Because you can't fix the brokenness in the world or inside yourself without allowing the light to come flooding in and show you what's happening inside so you can change. Yet, as Matthew reminds us, better ethical behavior and vigilance are not enough. The wake-up call is ultimately about the Christ. Advent introduces us to a child who steps into the world when we are unprepared, vulnerable, and still half asleep. Children have a way of revealing what we would rather hide. They ask questions we cannot ignore. What's up with your hair today? Why is it that you walk like that? Have you always had a stutter? They notice, though, the inconsistencies in our behavior, our speech, our ethics. They challenge us with moral clarity that we often lose as adults. And we know this from our own lives. When we were children, someone taught us honesty, fairness, compassion, justice. We were instructed not to cheat, not to deceive, not to take shortcuts, not to talk behind people's backs. But somewhere along the way, adulthood gave us permission to forget them. We rationalized compromises. We found ways to hide darkness instead of shining light on it. And then we look at the next generation and wonder why they seem to prioritize career advancement over integrity. Why ethical action in these TikToks and every other video seems optional. Why the world feels so fractured. As the words in Cats in the Cradle would remind us, I'm going to grow up to be just like you, Dad. You know I'm going to be like you. The children imitate what they see. They learn from our actions, our compromises, our attitudes, and yes, our failures. The parent who works too hard often has kids who work too hard. The parent who takes the easy way out in life often has children who cannot handle life either. The parent who has habits that no one would want to know about has children who follow the same habits. But here's the good news. It's never too late to model the right way. No matter our past missteps, we can begin today. We can choose honesty, integrity, light. The children will notice. We can choose to live as children of the day, and in doing so, give them a different example. But sometimes the light comes in unexpected, almost inconvenient ways. Whether tiptoeing through the dark and stubbing our toes so many times because we cannot see, or when our dad is injured in the hallway, keeping the darkness doesn't help him at all, and only light shining on it can really help. But you see, even at the times when it's unexpected, the truth is always better than the fear that we may imagine. The darkness can seem protective, but the light, it ultimately restores trust, safety, hope. The child of Advent, the Christ child, works in the same way. He exposes darkness not to condemn us, but to redeem us. He illuminates our shortcomings, our ethical lapses, our moral sleepiness, and offers grace, forgiveness, the opportunity to start anew. The light does not shame, it heals. The light does not punish, it restores. The child comes for sleepy, morally tired, and ethically distracted people. Whether we like it or not, the child comes for us. The ethical life is not just about business or personal morality. It's our community, our family, our legacy. Our children, our nephews, our nieces, our students, our neighbors' kids. Paying attention to whether ethics matter in real life, in our life. If they only see compromise and self-interest, they will follow. If they see integrity and courage, they'll be inspired to walk in the light, because they are inheritors of the world that we have built. Advent invites us to give them a faith that is awake, a church that is honest, a community that welcomes the light. Romans 13 urges us to put on the armor of light and to live as children of the day. This looks like truth-telling when it's uncomfortable. Fair treatment of others, refusing to exploit or manipulate. Generosity, giving freely and honestly. Forgiveness and patience, both toward others, but also toward ourselves when we've fallen short. Daily choices to resist the darkness. See, Advent is the season when the church stands between darkness and daylight. The early morning rise, whenever the sky is starting to turn blue, but the sky is not filled with the sun yet. The thing about the sunrise, though, you can't stop it. You can't close the blinds. You cannot bury your head under the pillow. You can't pretend it's still the middle of the night. The dawn keeps coming. Jesus says he will come at an hour we do not expect, which is exactly why we must be awake. But this is not to be harsh. It's not meant to humiliate. It's not meant to be a gotcha moment. The light comes so we can finally see, so we can finally walk forward, so we can finally be healed. Because the bruises that keep coming in the darkness, they are avoided when we become children of the day. And this is what Advent invites us into. We do not wake ourselves up by sheer moral effort. We don't become spiritually alert by tightening our fists. We wake up by turning toward Christ. The light, the dawn, is when Jesus has filled your vision, everything else finally begins to fall into place. We can offer forgiveness, correction, grace, a new beginning. Just because we haven't always acted ethically in the past, just because we're sitting here this morning knowing which things that we are avoiding thinking about, it doesn't mean we can't start today. Just because we failed to model integrity before doesn't mean we cannot begin now. Because that forgiveness, grace, that new beginning is ours today. So today, the alarm is going off. The curtains are opening. The horizon is glowing. The question of Advent is not, is the light coming? We know that it is. The question is, are we willing to wake up? Because the day is at hand. The day of the Lord is here. The light is shining. And it's time for us to show the ultimate light, Jesus Christ, the baby in the manger, the Son of God, in our lives and in all that we are. Thanks be to God.